This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network. Y'all ready for this? This is the Gimme the Hogs Chuck podcast presented by Weichert Realtors, the Griffin Company.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
He is a loathsome, offensive brute, yet I can't look away.
This is the business we've chosen.
Gimme them hogs with mustard, Chuck.
Hey, it's been a while since we visited. Glad you're here as we get underway on the Gimme the Hogs Chuck podcast, presented by Weichert Realtors, the Griffin Company, and brought to you in part by the Bet Saracen app. Now, I'm going to begin today with this. I know that absolutely nothing that I'm going to talk about today means anything if you are one of those who were affected by the tornadoes that came through our state over the holiday weekend. We've not visited since then. And I want to start right there. And what I hope, if you are among those who were affected, if you have family members who were affected, what I hope you know is that we are thinking about you. And all of us, the reality is when things like this happen, when a tornado comes through, the affected areas are affected in an indescribably profound way. And for everybody else, it's like it never happened because it didn't happen in their areas. And what I'm driving at is people go back to work. And so we've gone back to work. And when I discuss sports, that's part of my job. But I got a lot of hours in the day when I'm not on the job. And so do other people. And I know many people, as we always do when situations like this arise, have rallied around one another. Many have spent their off hours helping others. Many have taken off work to help others. And again, I know this affects a specific area and other areas are not affected. But I also know all of the affected areas in our state, at least this time around, are within what I would describe as our listening area. And I guess with the internet, everything is your listening area now, but it's right in our own backyard. And so clearly it affects us more than it might another time. But please understand that you are in our thoughts and you are in our prayers, and we all realize that while sports is fun and a nice diversion, it's just sports. And many of you are experiencing very real life and, again, a most profound way this week. All right, now having said all that, the SEC big wheels are meeting in Destin, Florida this week. Not a bad place to have a meeting. The athletic directors are there. The SEC commissioner's there. The coaches are there. Administrators are everywhere. The SEC media elite are there. Now, they're discussing a lot of lofty subjects. Since the announcement came down, I guess, last week that there was going to be a settlement in these antitrust lawsuits that had been filed against the NCAA and the revenue sharing was coming, that has obviously been topic one among college administrators. But if you look closely, there are a few things going on in Destin this week that affect you. If you like to watch games on television, if you like to gamble, there's a couple of things you ought to pay attention to. We'll start with the TV. We're going to find out tomorrow the kickoff times for the first 3 weeks of the season. Now, that happens pretty much every year at the spring meetings. There is something that's going to be different, though, this coming season. It affects kickoff times. And when we find out about kickoff times, this 6-12-day window, how do you plan? That's going to be a little bit different this year. This is the commissioner, Greg Sankey.
One of the changes that was part of our focus as we looked at the future of our television relationship way back in 2019-2020 is trying to be more intentional and out ahead of kickoff time announcements for our fans. I want to work back. We'll have some 6-day and 12-day adjustments, but those will be flexes between the afternoon and evening windows. You're going to have a whole primer on this when we go to media days, and you'll see it play out. So by mid-June, we will announce all of our early window kickoff times. So that's the noon Eastern. Really, those kickoff times will be between noon and 1 Eastern. So 11 to noon Central, they won't all be right at that noon Eastern time. A little bit of later flexibility depending on the network, particularly the SEC network. We'll have roughly, we'll see if I get this right, half of our other flex windows. So we'll designate some games either evening window or afternoon window. I guess I should say afternoon then evening window. Some of those games times can flip a few hours, and then there'll be some that are designated for flex. So as we go through the summer, rather than having all of our games subject to that 12-day and 6-day wait potentially through the season, you're going to know all of our early window kick times. You're going to know those by mid-June. We're going to know a set of afternoon and evening kick times subject to some flexibility, and then the remaining games will be in that flex afternoon evening. So we'll have a lot more opportunity to communicate with our fans earlier on those kick times.
Now, some of that I know may have left your head spinning a little bit. The way I understand what the commissioner had to say, and he kind of summarized it there at the end, we may not know the specific kickoff time, although for many of them we will. But we will know whether or not it's going to be played in the afternoon or the evening, generally speaking. Look, there's going to be 16 teams in the SEC. And let's just be honest. The ABC, ESPN, Disney package is for a mammoth amount of money. They're going to want the best teams and the best time slots. I don't know where Arkansas is going to fall in that pecking order. My guess would be that if they're going to get those prime slots, they're going to have to earn those over the course of the season. Whereas the teams that have been more towards the top the last few years are going to get the benefit of the doubt of those primetime slots in the early part of the season. In fact, I don't see how it could be any other way, just to be honest. But I do think we're going to have a real good idea by the middle of June, certainly by the time SEC Media Days roll around in July. I think we're going to know a good number of the kickoff times for the ball games this year. Good number of the games, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. We're going to know the kickoff times. And I'm not just talking about the ones in September. I'm talking about the ones in October and November, too. Now, again, just my initial reaction is that if you're one of those teams that's not been real good, and during the early part of the season, you may find yourself playing in those early games, I guess is long story short. If you're one of those teams that's not been as good, and they're setting those kickoff times for early in the season, my guess is going to be that a lot of those games are going to be early. The exception might be, for example, that Oklahoma State game. I sort of think that may end up being a night game, but we'll see. But along the way, there are all these flex games, and you heard Sankey talking about that. There's going to be day games, there's going to be night games, and then there's going to be flex games. It could go either way. It seems to me like right now Arkansas needs to aspire to get to that go either way stage. You know, in terms of when you play, the hour that you play, I think, again, clearly, the better teams are going to play in the better time slots. But the one thing that I do think is really good about this, and look, I loved having CBS as part of the SEC package. From a production standpoint, I think they're without peer. I think very candidly ESPN and ABC are they're behind CBS in terms of the overall production value of a football game. But the one thing from a fan's perspective was that when it came to kickoff times, you always had to wait on CBS. CBS always got the first choice. They were the ones that, hey, if they wanted to exercise a six-day window, which was their prerogative a couple of times during the year, everybody else had to wait. Every ESPN, all the ones, twos, and threes, and pluses, and all that stuff, everybody had to wait. Now they're not going to have to wait. Now it's all under one umbrella. And, again, I'm not saying everything about CBS going away is good, but in terms of knowing when they're going to play and being able to plan for that, I think this may be one of the dividends, one of the many dividends of the SEC's partnership with ABC and ESPN. Hey, before we go on, I want to talk to you about Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company, my partners in the real estate game. And, you know, everyone, if you're fortunate, you find someone fairly early in your adult life. If you're dealing with real estate, you're buying or selling your first home or you know, delving into other things, properties, you want to find someone that you can basically spend your life with, partner with from now on. That was my experience with Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company, from the first time I bought a house, from the first clueless moment when I went out there and tried to buy a house. They've been my partners every step of the way. What I can tell you about them is, and this is the reason I was attracted to them, they listened to me like I was the most important person in their world, even though I know I wasn't. And every step of the way, throughout every process we've been through, they've treated me that way. And I know that'll be your experience as well, because first off, you're dealing with the best trained in the business, and knowing how to listen.
You're listening to the Gimme the Hogs Chuck podcast presented by Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company.
And, I could go on and on, and I will in other podcasts about them because I feel that strongly about my partnership with them. Now, they've got offices in Northwest Arkansas. They're in Washington and Benton counties. They're in Fort Smith. Here is talking about their new office in Branson. They've got a wide selection of homes, and you can check out each and every one of them at WeickerGriffin.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, the other thing I want to talk about today is the region. And I don't even want to get into all the possibilities about who's going to win, who's going to pitch, what Arkansas's got to do. I'm not even going to get into any of that today. We'll have time for that on Friday. I want to talk about Dave Van Horn for just a second. And what this regional really is, if you stop and look at it closely, is a testament to his stewardship of college baseball, his stewardship of the game, his stewardship of coaches. You look around this NCAA tournament, his stamp is all over. Bob Holt had a really good article about this in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette today. Dave Van Horn's won the SEC Western Division Championship 8 times. Arkansas had won it 1 time before he arrived. He's won 3 overall SEC championships. Arkansas had won 1. Before he arrived. That Western Division title and that overall came in the same season, 1999. Dave's been to the College World Series 7 times since he came to Arkansas. They'd been 4 times before that. Really good teams under Norm DeBrien. But when Arkansas went in 2004, it ended a 15-year drought. You know, there's been six more trips since then. We act like it's a birthright. But the reality is that it hadn't really happened all that much before Dave came. And I'm not even talking about the 2 years that he took Nebraska to the College World Series. All they knew about the College World Series was that it was in Omaha. I mean, they hadn't been in forever. He went twice in 5 years. You look at this regional. Arkansas is going to play SEMO on Friday afternoon. Southeast Missouri State. Their head coach is Andy Sawyers. Played for Dave at Nebraska. He was a GA on the 2000 team. There's a sidebar to that 2000 Nebraska team. They came to Fayetteville, beat the Razorbacks pretty good, two straight games. Frank Broyles, who never went to Razorback baseball games unless Barry Lenny Jr. was pitching, watched every inning of both those games. Sat by himself in Hog Heaven, watched every pitch of both games. If there was any doubt in anybody's mind about who the Razorback head coach was going to be, in my mind anyway, it was sealed those 2 days. I knew it was going to be Dave Van Horn, and I knew Coach Broyles would do whatever he had to do to get it. Because you can tell when a coach is impressed with another coach. Frank Broyles walked away from that ball game knowing that the future of Arkansas baseball was Dave Van Horn. But I digress. Lane Burroughs, head coach at Louisiana Tech, who Arkansas may play in the second round. They're going to play Kansas State in the first round. He was a DVH assistant down at Northwestern State in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Razorbacks went down there and played. You have to have been following Razorback baseball a long time to remember that when Dave Van Horn was the head coach at Northwestern State, Natchitoches, Louisiana, Norm took the Hogs down there. I went with him, broadcast the games, 1997. Burroughs was on that staff. Fast forward now, what, 27 years? And they're both in the same regional. And there's lots of DVH assistants in this tournament. Matt Deggs has Louisiana Lafayette back in. Vitello at Tennessee. Wes Johnson at Georgia. Will Bolt, who they call Little DVH, up in Lincoln. He's got Nebraska back in. Now, all of this is a testament to Dave Van Horn. But when you hear him talk about it, it's really no big deal.
Yeah, you know, Lane and Andy, both really good people. You know, not only outstanding coaches, but good human beings, good dads. You know, it's been fun watching those guys' careers grow. Played against them a few times. Happy that they're having success. Not excited about having to play them, but just happy for them and their families and their baseball programs. I've been very blessed to have such great coaches, and they've gone off and done their thing and had a lot of success, and doesn't surprise me a bit. So happy for all those guys. That's what you want when you coach with guys. And, you know, if you're the head coach and they're your assistants, you want them to do well when they leave and have a great career. And, you know, just makes things a little bit better down the road.
I have no idea how the NCAA baseball tournament's going to end up, but I know Arkansas is going to be in the hunt. It's going to be fun. Starts on Friday at 2 o'clock. Dave's going to continue his pattern of playing the afternoon game. In fact, I noticed of the five SEC teams that are hosting, only Tennessee is playing at night on Friday night. Everybody else is playing in the daytime. So win or lose, they're going to get a little bit of extra rest. Ideally, you win the ball game. Two games will be played between the time you end your first game and the time you got to take the field again. So we'll see how it turns out. Hope the weather holds up. 2 o'clock Friday afternoon for the Hogs and SEMO. All right, on to the Gamblers. I said this at the outset of the podcast, that there were a couple of things at the SEC meetings that you needed to be paying attention to. One, you watch games on TV, and we talked about that a little bit earlier. The others, if you're a gambler, if you're one of those people who get on the Bet Saracen app and you place a little wager on either the Razorbacks or whatever game you happen to be watching. Now, we've discussed this a good bit, and it's been bandied about often on talk radio, is that given the fact that athletic programs have partnered, as they would call it, with gambling institutions,
When would there be injury reports a la the NFL? You know, in college football, man, I mean, you can have game time decisions that sometimes go right into, you know, midway through the first quarter before the opponent ever finds out if a guy's going to play or not. Can't do that in the NFL. And it's because of the gambling interests. We're moving towards that in college sports. This is Greg Sankey.
We are going to have a discussion about student athlete availability reporting. So members of our staff have been working on this project really since last summer. I referenced some considerations that we would have. That doesn't mean there's going to be a decision. In fact, you should not expect a decision, but you should expect a discussion. That's obviously different than the culture that's existed around much of college athletics over time. Go back to some of my comments. I noted we don't want to just rush into something. It's not injury reporting. It's a very different circumstance given some of the privacy issues we have. Yet, when you start to see the numbers of dollars being bet on legalized sports gambling or on college sports, not just football, but men's and women's basketball, volleyball, baseball, I think all of those catch your attention. We have to be thoughtful about how information is managed. It's also a reality that the lives of young people in colleges versus the lives of professional athletes are very different, a lot more exposure to people, a lot more people around our programs that go in and out. Sitting in classrooms is not something that happens to an NFL or a Major League Baseball participant, but it happens on a daily basis at the college level.
It was inevitable. I mean, it had to happen. You knew it would. You can't have all the money that is being wagered on college football particularly and not have injury reports. Now, again, as the commissioner said, it's a little bit more complicated, perhaps, at the collegiate level than it is at the professional level. They always make it sound that way. I don't know if it really is or not, but according to the commissioner, you know, we heard him say they believe it is. But something's coming on that. As he said, don't look for a decision on that this week, but it is going to be discussed. And there may very well be a decision before next football season rolls around. I've got a feeling that we're going to hear more discussion about prop bets and things of that nature, the gambling industry, the gaming industry, and its relationship to college football. I think we're going to hear a lot more about that over the summer. I think it's interesting that the commissioner brought it up in the spring. All right, that's enough for today. I've rambled a while, but it was good to get back at it. Baseball on Friday. We'll have a preview of the regional when we get together on the Gimme the Hogs Chuck podcast Friday. In the meantime, Morning Rush tomorrow. Morning Rush on Friday. We'll talk to you then. Until then, thanks for listening.
Subscribe to the Gimme the Hogs Chuck podcast. Go to hitthatline.com or search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to rate, review, and share.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.